"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Yeah, we're down to two words. The first will be revealed at 4:20, the last at 5:20. It is, of course, the keyword and your way to possibly getting $1,000 in inflation bonus cash from KFI. You hear the word at 4:20, and then John will tell you what to do next. It's coming up on the John and Ken Show.
We are going to talk now to, do we have him ready? I don't see him on the phone.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Coming in that way, are you? All right, Alex Stone, because tricky. Every day, there seems to be another strange angle to the story up in Idaho of the four young people killed in the house, stabbed to death, brutal, gruesome, bloody. What's going on, Alex?
Yeah, so, I mean, every day it does get weirder. What we know today is sources are telling us those two roommates who were at home during the murders, we now know were there, and either they didn't hear it. You know, they'd been out drinking. Were they passed out drunk? Were they hiding the entire time? But they were not the ones who dialed 911 8 hours after the murders. Somebody dialed 911 reporting an unresponsive person, and then police got there, and there were four who were just brutally stabbed, blood all over the place, from what we understand. But it wasn't those roommates who made that phone call. And police won't say, were they hiding? Were they not? They're not suspects, but they may or may not be witnesses, and I mean,
were they awake by noon?
We don't know. Were they awake when it happened? How do you kill four people in a home and stab them, and nobody hears any of that? And
so it was two more girls, the roommates?
Yeah, two more young women in their early 20s, and the families of one of them telling us that she's traumatized, that she's working with the FBI, but we asked police about this, and they said this.
What we have to determine in the course of the investigation and interviewing these two is if they heard something, if they saw something, what they heard, what they saw, and that would potentially make them witnesses.
Somebody came in using what they believed to have been a tactical knife and stabbed and killed four people who were stabbed numerous times, and did they not hear it? Were they, you know, just stunned, but for 8 hours? So it's really bizarre. And police saying, though, everybody right now is a suspect.
No one has been ruled included or excluded as a person of interest and or a suspect. Everyone is still being investigated.
So, guys, police are going to stores in Idaho. They're asking, do you have any info on people buying a Rambo-style tactical knife recently? Not an uncommon knife for people to have in Idaho, but they, you know, could be a lead if they were to find somebody who bought one. But this person could have had it already. We sat down with the county prosecutor. He says they've got no suspects, that they have no leads on who this was. And now you have the dynamic of so many of the students have left the university because they're freaked out. Parents have told them, leave. There's a killer on the loose. And now Thanksgiving break, that many of them were leaving today anyway. So the lead prosecutor saying Now investigators have to travel to do their interviews and go find these kids who might have been out partying, might have been at a bar, might have been at the sorority party or fraternity party that some of them had been at that night, and talk to them there. But not a lot of folks are around in Moscow right now. And Abigail Spencer, she's a student. She says campus is really eerie.
I think a lot of people are afraid, and like, I'm definitely nervous. There's still a suspect at large. There is still so much we don't know about the case.
Then really, police, granted, we know that they always know more than what they're putting out there, but they say that the one thing that they need to know, who did this, they have no idea. And forensic teams went back to the house yesterday looking for any evidence that could have been missed. Was there any DNA that was overlooked? It didn't seem like they found a whole lot.
Any word about fingerprints?
How about surveillance video from anywhere?
Right. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, there's one surveillance video that we've got, and police say they're looking at as well. Just before 2 a.m., two of the female victims, they were at a food truck outside of a bar ordering food, but they look happy. They're taking photos. They're cheerfully talking to the guy in the food truck. And, you know, no video of anybody watching them or following them. So that one doesn't seem to shed a lot of light
on
this.
No Ring doorbell at the house or
anything
like that.
No, this was a party house. One of the sisters of one of the victims telling us that this was a college party house that for decades had been that, even though these kids had just moved in, you know what, in the last couple of years. No video that we know of there.
There's at least five girls that live there, and did the boy that got murdered, Ethan, was he living there, or was he the boyfriend of...
You know, it seems like he was a boyfriend romantically. I don't know if he bunked there, but he was there at the time. And yeah. But it was mainly the girls who were together, the women who were together. Today they were flying a police drone over the house trying to map it out. All day they've been flying that thing. The autopsies found that they were stabbed multiple times, but the coroner said, and this tells you how gruesome it was, she could not tell if there were any defensive wounds on their hands or anywhere else. The father of one of the victims says that he was told or read in one of the autopsy reports that his daughter did appear to have defensive wounds. But again, you know, how it all went down, police say they're in the dark on this because they haven't been able to find any forensic evidence, any witness evidence pushing them their way, witness statements that they don't know. And at this point, there's a murderer on the loose. They don't know, man, woman, age, anything. They don't know who it was.
And they originally said that this seemed to be targeted, but did they pull back from that? They called it a targeted killing, but now people are thinking maybe not.
Well, here's where it gets weird. So on Monday, if it wasn't already weird, on Monday, they put out a short statement essentially saying there's been a murder, four people are dead, we're not going to tell you anymore, don't ask any questions, there's no threat to the community. Then they put out another statement on Tuesday saying that they were killed with a sharp-edged object like a knife, but didn't say it was a knife. And then on Wednesday, after tons of pushback, the chief came out and said, look, this is creating panic. There are so many rumors. It was a knife. Why not just say it was a knife on Tuesday instead of a sharp-edged object? He said, you know, that them being quiet and not answering anything, it's a lesson for police departments across the country. It just makes it worse. It isn't saving their investigation. It has made it go downhill even more. And he said he could no longer say that there was no threat to the community, which they said on Monday. But he said because the killer is out there, that they can't say that any longer after they got a lot of blowback. But they still believe it was probably targeted based on that the person went in there, no forced entry, went after these four. But they don't know. They're just going on a theory. One thing for you here. We talked to a threat assessment psychologist who works with police a lot, Dr. Marissa Randazzo. She has a take on this. She says probably single killer, maybe somebody who is romantically interested in one of the victims, and probably only one person. Normally a knife attack would not be more. She told us this.
It is highly likely that there was only one killer. I believe it is also very likely they were targeting one of the individuals, possibly two, but that they've encountered two others at the same time. We typically don't see knife attacks, stabbings, that are carried out by multiple people. This is typically going to be one person. It's always possibility, but likelihood that it's just one we're talking about.
One other interesting tidbit she added in there is she said that quite often when a murderer uses a tactical knife, like a Rambo-style fixed blade, that oftentimes are dressed in tactical or hunting gear. So she says, as a police officer, as a detective, you would probably be going to those same stores where you're asking, did anybody buy this knife? And saying, did anybody buy tactical or hunting gear? You know, nobody knows. Who knows if this person was wearing that? But she says they have found through the history of murders that when a knife like this is used, quite often they kind of Rambo up and try to get into that mode. And oftentimes they're dressed in that kind of gear.
They're not saying whether or not these people that were killed slept in separate bedrooms or anything like that, or they're in the
same
room?
No, we don't know. They won't answer any of that. There are some indications that they were in bed, maybe not all in the same room. Some had been out at Greek parties that night. The others had been at a bar, but all of them were home at about 1:45. And right before that, the two girls were seen at the food truck. 2 hours later, they were dead. But it wasn't reported to police for 8 more hours. And who made that call? Police won't say. What was going on during that 8-hour period? We don't know.
All right. Thank you, Alex, very much. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, on the murder of the 4 college students who attended the University of Idaho, a place called Moscow, Idaho, and they were killed in an off-campus house. Now, the two roommates that lived, that may have slept through this, well, it sounds targeted, because why weren't they killed too if it was just somebody out to be a mass murderer, right? Wouldn't they just kill everybody in the house, or why would they spare these two?
I don't know, because we don't know what the relationships were.
We don't know.
What motivates this kind of intense, violent passion? It's usually love or money.
They were alive at like 1 in the morning, and they were probably dead by 4 in the morning.
Some kind of revenge or betrayal that triggered the attack, unless it was just an out-and-out psycho.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken. Oh, yeah, the keyword's next. KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. The Moist Line will follow the reveal of the keyword just after 5:20. Moist Line rounds 1 and 2 on the John and Ken show. Well, it's come to this. From the world of increasingly uninteresting COVID news, 2 developments. One is the expected. L.A. County officially went to its recommendation to mask indoors. Good luck with that. Although I did see a few more people today than I normally see when I went to a restaurant. I was a little bit puzzled. Usually it's 1 out of every 50. Today it was probably 3 out of 50.
There's people who immediately obey. What did the government say? What are the government instructions today? I will comply.
That's right. I'm reading an uptick. I'm nervous.
Because they are the experts, and they know things.
I will mask at the beach and mask in the shower. Also, the Biden administration is rolling out some bribes. We told you that the percentage of the population that's getting the latest COVID booster, known as the bivalent booster, it's supposed to target some of the newer mutations. John has the list.
We could spend the rest of the day going through that.
Yeah. Well, the numbers are pretty dismal. People are not bothering. So this is very exciting. If you get the Omicron-specific shot at a CVS, a Safeway, a Winn-Dixie, or a Rite Aid, you can get $20 off your purchases. Woohoo!
You know, you can't even buy a package of paper towels for $20.
You can't. You know, you talk a lot about paper towels.
Well, because I went Bounty paper towels.
Viva. I don't like Bounty.
Well, I don't sell Viva at the store I go to.
Viva's really good.
Is it better?
I find it very absorbent. Yes.
Well,
I just had a house guest, and she said to me, "Wow, who's these paper towels? They're good."
Don't get cheap paper towels.
You shouldn't.
No, because I got cheap paper towels. My wife was...
You got like the store brand or something?
Yeah, some off-brand thing. And it soaks up the water just a little bit, right? But just a little bit of water floods the whole sheet, and it's sopping wet.
Yeah, that's what you don't want.
You know, it's too cheap and thin.
Right.
So I looked Bounty. It says 8 = 12. You know, it's the scam they pull.
Oh, that's right.
You're buying 8 rolls, but it's really 12 rolls.
12 rolls.
No, it's not. But fine.
They make the rolls bigger.
Yeah. So it's $25. And I just looked online here just to see if that was the same price that's going on. Here it is.
No.
8 rolls equals 12. Target $22. Staples $24.37. My store over $25.
No.
So his stupid $20 coupon for getting the latest shot Can't get a package of paper towels with that because the
they are packaging this as an inflation fighter too.
You want to hear this headline? And this comes from the New York Times.
Yes.
And they know things, don't they?
The
New York Times.
Sure.
Will COVID boosters prevent another wave? Scientists aren't so sure. And I'm looking at this like, what? The shots may help. May help older, pregnant, and immunocompromised Americans dodge serious illness or death.
Yeah, I'm all of those, by the way.
Oh, what's the due date?
I did get the bivalent shot. But only 11% of the country has. Very low.
Listen to this. Recent studies suggest the doses are not likely to prevent infections in any group.
Well, it's not about preventing infections. I thought it was about making sure you don't get as sick.
Yeah, but originally they were selling it as prevent. Remember, they wouldn't let you work. People were losing their jobs because they wouldn't take the shot.
Yeah.
Are you trying to kill people?
Well, I mean, the theory is the sicker you are, the more infectious you are. So if you get the vaccine and you're a little less sick, hopefully you're a little less infectious. I don't know if that's true. I'm just making stuff up, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's about, as much as the Times. But one of the researchers says, this is Dr. Peter Marks. He's the FDA's top vaccine regulator.
Well, okay. There we go. That's an expert.
This guy knows stuff. Yeah. It's true. We're not sure how well these vaccines will do against preventing symptomatic disease.
Oh, no.
But he says get it anyway, because what do you got to lose?
Yeah. 19.5 million people out of 225 million people eligible have come forward to get the new bivalent shots.
So you've had 5 shots.
I have, yes. Right, the original 2-shot vaccine, and then 2 boosters, and now this one.
Yeah, I only had 4. I'm standing down for now.
Looks like it doesn't make any difference, although, Look, in the other room, Deborah Mark went down.
Yeah.
Well, she got the 5th shot, too, so.
I don't think she tested herself. She claims she just has a cold.
She just told me she hopes it's not COVID, but she didn't. She could just have a cold or a flu.
Yeah, don't even
test.
Just
don't bother.
What's the point? Because it'll go on a record, and then they'll start issuing more mandates, and it's like, just keep it to yourself. Tough it out.
Look at this map here of where inflation's hitting the hardest in the United States. Los Angeles, 7.5%, but we're not as bad as Atlanta. Phoenix, 12%. They're getting hit with inflation in Phoenix.
12%?
Oh, a lot of it has to do with the average price of a home.
Oh.
Apparently, that's a hot place for people to move. It was up 9% in September compared to the same time last year. So that pushes them, because inflation takes into account the cost of lots of things, including homes.
I know the reasons to go to a place like Phoenix. I am still stunned that people are willing to endure 120-degree summers.
That's a tough downside of that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that overwhelms a lot of good stuff. But
all right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We'll give you everything we know after 5 o'clock about the release of this man who plowed into the police recruits. The other morning in an area of Whittier, they were out doing a run together in formation. And you've seen the video probably where he just drives the wrong side of the street right into the pack of cadets running.
Oh, he's free.
He's free. That was a stunner last night. He is a free person for now. The answer, or at least what we can know of it, we'll talk about after the news at 5 o'clock. The Moist Line and one final keyword is coming at around 5:20. Here on the John and Ken Show. Well, recently, Governor Dippity-Doo rejected all of the homelessness action plans submitted by every local government and nonprofit in the state. He rejected all of them, saying they were not ambitious enough. You need to step up to the plate. You need to meet the moment. He threw out the good with the bad. If there was some good ones in there, we don't really know. But that's what he did. Well, today, he was meeting with them in Sacramento. Local elected leaders from across the state are meeting with Newsom, maybe it's already happened, to try to figure out what this means and what they can do to get the hundreds of millions of dollars in funding that Newsom has put a stop sign on.
Well, that's now, what's got them.
Once again, it sounds like he's grandstanding, but maybe he has a point if the plans stink.
Well, of course they stink.
Remember the example that one of them was going to reduce the increase by 70. I forget what the figure was, but something like so it wouldn't increase more than 71%, something like that.
Somebody,
not that they were going to cut it 71%, but it wasn't going to increase by more than 71%.
I know what's going on here. I don't know if he's calculating this or somebody's calculating it for him. His crowd, his team knows that the homeless videos are the death knell for his presidential campaign. You start running those videos in campaign commercials, he doesn't last 5 minutes. So he's got to look like Mr. Superhero. He has 1 year to do that. He has 1 year to change the story, to change the subject. And so he's going to do dramatic stuff. Remember, he doesn't care about the homeless. The homeless started getting out of control while he was mayor of San Francisco, and that was 18 years ago. And now he's been governor for 4 years. Did nothing. Zero. Less than zero. So he doesn't care. You know, when he's, what is he, 55 years old? You know, when
53,
you're,
I think. Or,
when you're
maybe
that,
that's Garcetti, somewhere around there.
When you're that old and you've had that many years in public life and elected office and everything got worse and worse and worse, it means you don't care or you have really bad, stupid ideas. But he wants to be president. All right. So what's he going to do? He's going to talk tough. And it was very calibrated the other day, remember, when he said, he goes, first he says, well, you know, we gotta fight back against the narrative from Fox News and the right-wing noise machine. And then later on, buried in the story, yeah, there's a lot of criticism coming from them. But, you know, they're right about some things. It's like, oh, look at that. Because, again, he wants to appeal to more people than left-wing lunatics in San Francisco.
That's what they say. Whenever you run for office, you have to broaden your appeal.
Because if he drives out of Sacramento, he goes down, starts going east, down Interstate 80, right? By the time he gets to the Nevada line, he has no fans. He has no fans for about 2,500 miles. His fans are clustered right here in that little narrow strip we talked about yesterday, that little blue strip along the coast that you see on election maps this week. But again, you go down Route 80, maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 miles, no fans. You know, right. I mean, the eastern half of California, everybody hates him. Nevada, well, he'll be hated. Dumbest thing in the world for him personally to run for president. But it's even stupider if he runs while there's 100,000 homeless people wandering all over the big cities. So he's grandstanding here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't like any of these homeless
people. Yeah, I called him out on this. I stood up to them. They're not solving the homeless problem. I stopped the money.
Listen to these quotes he's given in various places. Deliver damn results. It's a crisis. Act like it. Everybody step up. I'm not the mayor. You want me to come in? I'll do the job. I'll do it. Happily. Hey, come here. Go ahead. Let's.
Come to L.A.
Put up or shut up here. Yeah, come to L.A. Because
show us your big idea. Because when you were mayor of San Francisco, it didn't really make much of a dent.
I'm sure all the plans stink. Because everything's got worse, right? They've had these plans every year. And I noticed the complaints from some of the mayors is, oh, he can't take away our money. That's all they care about. Because they're employing all their political friends and their political friends' brothers and brothers-in-laws and son-in-laws, right? They promised jobs. They've all started up nonprofits. Oh, wait a second. One of my biggest donors just started a nonprofit. You can't block the money.
Which is why we present the following story, which may or may not be part of the homeless industrial complex we talk about on the John and Ken Show. This from the San Francisco Chronicle. Here's the first paragraph. San Francisco auditors have notified the FBI about a city nonprofit that controls nearly $28 million in public funds meant to provide housing to formerly homeless people, saying the organization improperly collected rent payments and stood by when access to housing was illegally sold to residents. So you can see what happened there. They were supposed to provide the housing for free to the homeless. Instead, somebody's telling the homeless, oh, yeah, you don't live here for free. You got to pay us rent.
You got to give us a cut.
Now, San Francisco's controller office and the city attorney's office thinks there has to be an investigation and is calling in the FBI. I'm thinking this must be bad. You would expect there's some tolerance there for, you know, what nonprofits trying to help the homeless.
Everybody's got to skim, you know, their 5% or 10%.
Also, the controller's office put out a report that they should consider cutting ties with this organization known as the United Council of Human Services. They run shelters and a drop-in resource center and a safe camping site. For years, apparently, the United Council of Human Services has not met the terms of its agreements. They don't properly document the money that they spend. You see what I'm, where we're getting at here?
But for years they've done this.
Yes.
How many millions?
2017, there was a report like this.
How many? 2017.
There was a report in 2017. They were misclassifying expenditures.
That's what I'm talking about.
Board members didn't seem to understand how the organization was run. Well, that's nice.
All they know is they were getting big deposits into their bank accounts from the state.
And the city probably gave them grant money.
And the city, all kinds of grants. And then they just took the money, like that nut in the Bahamas now, right, with FTX. Then right. You just download the money into your account and send it to some island. And that's your business.
Oh, look
that's
at this.
Your work day.
For one example, the United Council of Human Services converted a unit of supported housing into an office space, which is not permitted by the grant agreement.
Yeah.
Then they decided, oh, yeah, we need this. More room for our bureaucracy. Let's make it an office space here. Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking on their website. I'm looking at these people. Gwendolyn Westbrook seems to run it.
Oh, yeah.
She's described, her title is Mother in Charge. The program director, Nikita Woodson. I'm looking for these people in this story here, and they should be mentioned, and they should be forced to
explain. There is a name Westbrook later on. Oh, look at that. Westbrook has donated hundreds of dollars to campaigns for Mayor London Breed and Supervisor Shaman Walton.
There we go. Sure. Right at the end of the story.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They finally get to it.
Yeah. They
hundreds of dollars to
Westbrook character.
To the mayor and one of the supervisors.
Westbrook has been an influential figure in San Francisco for years.
Okay, so, which means she's given a lot of money to these hack politicians.
Oh, listen to this.
And they give her a contract.
Look at the last paragraph. She was serving as a senior manager assistant for the city's port in 1997, the year she was charged with embezzlement and grand theft for stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars in parking lot collections.
There you go.
And you put this woman in charge of a homeless nonprofit? And now there are questions?
Lifetime grifter.
It doesn't mention, it says she was charged. Was she convicted? Was there a plea deal? What happened?
Yeah, again, that ought to be explained. But they buried her at the bottom of the story, and then at the last paragraph, and who gets to the last paragraph? Because this is a boring story. You don't know any of these people, right? It's all bureaucratic crimes and bureaucratic explanations.
Wonderful. This is where the money goes. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. The big 5 o'clock Friday hour is about to show up, and of course we'll start with the jaw-dropping story that the man that plowed through the police recruits who were running in an area of Whittier, injuring seriously several of them, has been released. He was, quote, detained. They're working up a case against him, but they can't hold him for more than 48 hours or so unless they actually have filed charges.
Yes, still don't
and
understand.
So even though we heard from the sheriff that this appears to be a deliberate act, we'll bring you all of this coming up after the news at 5 o'clock. Then we're going to have a keyword, John. You'll hear the last keyword.
The last keyword.
For now. Of the inflation bonus contest that's been going on for weeks here on KFI, and you're shot at $1,000. Then the Moist Line. Do you want me to keep going? It's quite an hour. It's packed. Packed!
I'll be there.
We'll talk about theft and how the top executive at Target is saying, oh my God, we're getting ripped off. Target had a tough quarter, and they're blaming some of retail theft by organized groups for that. This will come up after we're in the 5 o'clock hour. Well, from the category of, how else do you put it? That's got to hurt. At a hot springs pool in Yellowstone National Park, some time ago, they found part of a foot still in the shoe, floating in the abyss pool at Yellowstone National Park. This happened in July. That's all they found. Now, months later, they are identifying the person who fit with that shoe and that foot. It's a 70-year-old Los Angeles man. Now, the weird part is he died in an unspecified incident. Well, I don't know. What's your guess here?
Well,
that he fell into the...
It's the hot springs.
Yeah, and that's all that was left of him.
I was just up at Yellowstone, and they have barriers, and they have signs, and they even have photos of, you know, what could happen if you fall into the pool. Like, not photos. They have, like, drawings, right?
Yes.
And so you have to be really drunk or really
stupid. They have drawings? What, you get dissolved?
Well, they show a guy slipping, yeah, with his arms askew in the air
and
his head back, and then you see the boiling water next to him, and you know what the next scene is.
Yeah, that's like, you know, boiling a lobster.
Yeah, it's 140 degrees. It's always throwing off steam. It often smells like sulfur, and depending on the minerals in the water, the ponds are very colorful, which is really the appeal of going and looking. Is because
did you go to the Abyss Pool?
I don't remember the
name.
It's
the well-known hot spring.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I probably did.
Yellowstone's West Thumb Geyser Basin.
Yeah, then
Northwestern Wyoming.
Then I went there. Definitely.
Well, it took them till now to do the DNA. They found the foot in August, but they just did a match to a 70-year-old man named Il-Hun Ro. I-L-H-U-N, then R-O. His family has been notified. Now, wouldn't they have already come forward to say, well, we think he was at Yellowstone and we can't find him? Or,
well, if he fell into the pool,
yeah,
I don't know what's left of you after a while. Because if you fall in and nobody's around, who's going to know?
That's what I'm thinking. And nobody was with them.
And I think you just, the hot water, I don't know, maybe all your flesh just boils off after a while, right?
They are saying that an unwitnessed incident involving one individual happened on the morning of July 31st. No foul play occurred.
Well, they have these boardwalks that they build, and it raises you a little bit above the land, and then they have, like, wooden rails. And yeah, you really have to go. Now, I understand the appeal because they're colorful and they're bubbling, and you know, part of you wants to go really close and see. But, you know, they show you the guy toppling into the pool. Don't do that.
The ground around these hydrothermal areas of the park is very thin and fragile. Scalding water lies just below the surface. Visitors have been badly burned before. On October 4th of last year, a 20-year-old woman from Washington suffered significant burns from her shoulders to her feet when she tried to rescue her dog from Maiden's Grave Spring. The water there reaches 200 degrees.
200?
The dog did die.
That's almost boiling. I mean,
you can't take an animal to a place like that. They're too curious. They don't understand signs.
She boiled her dog.
Oh.
I just don't get it.
It's a good thing Deborah Mark's not here today. That's too bad animal stories.
We have to give her a rundown Monday.
No. We'll spare
her.
Hey,
here's what you missed.
I was thinking, you know, but a 70-year-old wouldn't be likely to want a good selfie, so that's probably not the case.
No, but you get these weird, curious people who, I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. The next one is a 19-year-old who suffered burns, and then a 23-year-old who walked off a boardwalk, slipped and fell into a hot spring. Oh, how terrible, and died.
That's why they put up the signs with the pictures, right? Because you get a lot of worldwide.
People know that, but they say, nag, 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 nag.
Yeah, well, what sound do they make when they fall in the
200-degree
pool?
For every 100 guys, it walks up really close. Yeah, maybe one falls in. I'll take my chances, right?
All right. At 200 degrees feels good, I'll tell you.
5 o'clock hour Friday. The Moist Line people are around the corner. So is the last keyword in the inflation bonus contest. We'll begin by telling you what we know about this man that drove through the crowd of cadets running in Whittier, and the fact that he's been released, even though it appears to be a deliberate act. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Mark Ronner live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency.
Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.